The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond.
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's Anton Savage in for Pat, and it is time again to go behind the scenes of another movie classic.
A Fiddler on the Roof. Sounds crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition! Tradition!
That's a scene from the much-loved and well-worn musical Fiddler on the Roof from 1971. And to tell us all about it, or all about it rather, is television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes. How are you, Bill?
Good morning, Anton. Bill, nice to hear you on the radio.
You are, Jen. It's lovely to talk to you. This is one of those where I'm hoping that you can educate me, because Fiddler on the Roof, my entire life, I've taken a couple of looks at and just thought, no. No, I'm not going.
Well, I would say you're in the majority. I would say a lot of people see a clip of it and go, ah, no, I can't be doing with that. Well, I am here to plead the case to say it is one of the most rewarding experiences you could have. It's like reading a beautiful novel on an afternoon. If you can give it the 3 hours, 20 minutes that it has, you will be fully rewarded.
Oh, God, you were starting to win me over until you hit 3 hours and 20 minutes. Is that the runtime?
It's 3 hours and 20 minutes, yeah. But when it was released, like in 1971, it was produced, directed by Norman Jewison. And it's funny because Norman Jewison was approached by the producers, the studio, and they asked him, and he said, hey, guys, just to get it out of the way, I'm not Jewish. Did you think I was? And he wasn't. And they did think he was Jewish. But because Fiddler on the Roof has such heavy content, it's about the pogroms. It's about the absolute persecution of the Jews by the Russian Orthodox Christians and by the forces of the Tsar. And you get a sense of village life. You get a sense of the tradition that's going on, that word that you hear there. And tradition is everything to the central character, Tevye, played by Topol. And Tevye is an extraordinary man because he's so ordinary. He's a milkman in the village and he has sweet damn all money, but he has a wife and he has five daughters, no son. And so the five daughters have to be married off. And he's in a constant state of panic and he's in a constant state of questioning. So a lot of his action is looking up to the heavens and asking God, what are you doing to me? What is the next step? What's the... So that, you know, you have his beautiful moment of If I Were a Rich Man. It's a really famous song. You have the girls, the daughters out in the back, hanging up the washing, singing Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Make Me a Match, because that's all their lives are revolving around. But then it gets a bit dark because the Tsar, the pogroms start.
Well, this is what I'm fascinated by. It seems unusual fodder for a musical. Poverty, loss, despair, and pogroms. It's not exactly what you'd say, well, that's the list I should write a few tunes about.
No, and yet, when it was released in 1971, it was the biggest box office hit in the world in 1971. It outshone everything at the box office because people went and gave themselves to it in the cinema. It's hard to do that on telly because you've got the distractions of commercial breaks. So it would be wonderful if people could lay their hands on the good old-fashioned DVD and stick it on. And just because there's an intermission in it, it's like going to the theatre. There is an intermission built in, one intermission that the action reaches a certain stage and you can go and have your cup of tea. But the performances are so magnificent and the fighting to know who was going to get the part. As it happened, Topol was playing the lead in the West End production and Norman Jewison wanted him very much so. But Zero Mostel, in 1964, had created the part on Broadway.
This is a bit like, this is, I think, having read up on it a bit, it strikes me as very similar to Ray McAnally in The Field, that he was the defining Bull McCabe. And when, of course, he passed away and couldn't play it in the movie, there was that sense of who can possibly do this role. And then, of course, it was done so well by Harris. But in the same way, after the Broadway run, I assume he was a shoo-in.
Well, he thought he was a shoo-in, but it's only years later. And I can see the point because we all know Zero Mostel from The Producers with Gene Wilder. And he is totally over the top. And Norman Jewison felt he's so over the top, he'll get in the way of what the point of the film is. And that you'll be caught up in a caricature of Tevye. And you won't get the essence of this poor, struggling man. And he felt that Topol was going to capture it much better. And Topol was only 35 at the time. And Tevye is in his 50s. But they went to extraordinary lengths to make him look older. Like, the makeup department went to Norman Jewison and he said, they said, you know, how grey do you want him? And he said, as grey as myself. So they clipped 15 hairs out of his beard and they divided them in two, an 8 and a 7, and they put them in Topol's eyebrows. And that's where the grey started. And then they started building the character on top of that. But everybody, the studio wanted Orson Welles, Anthony Quinn, Marlon Brando to play the part. And they all turned it down. And then Frank Sinatra and Danny Kaye both pitched for the part and they got moved, passed over. And it was offered to Topol, who of course took it and made it his own and toured in the show for most of for years afterwards. The thing about the women characters, the first woman chosen to play the wife, Golda, by Norman Jewison, was a woman called Hannah Maron, who was really well known. She was a Yiddish actress, worked in the Yiddish theatre, National Theatre, and she was very well known. But she got caught up in a terrorist attack in Munich and lost her leg, and so she couldn't play the part. Then Anne Bancroft was considered, but she felt that the part was too small and too underwritten. So then it went to Claire Bloom and Geraldine Page. They all turned it down. And eventually it settled on Norma Crane. And before filming, Norma Crane was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she only told Norman Jewison, she told one of the associate producers, and she told Topol, and she said, you know, I'm going to get through this film, please support me. And they did. And once the film was wrapped and released, she died within 2 years, which was, you know, because she's brilliant as Golda.
But she, in essence, mother, knew that this was going to be her swan song.
Oh, she did. Yeah, she did, which is kind of really tragic, you know. And then they were searching around for where they were going to film it. They applied to the Ukraine. They were told where to get off by the Russian authorities because it was going to be critical of the pogroms. And they tried within Russia and no way. But Tito in then Yugoslavia, he was a huge movie fan and he thought, if I can attract the movie here. And so they set it in what was then the area now known as Croatia. and Zagreb. They shot a lot of it, but all the interiors were done at Pinewood Studios in London, so that you see a lot of British stock actors showing up. And another great coup was getting, as you just heard at the opening there, the Fiddler on the Roof, that beautiful, sweet violin playing. I think that was Isaac Stern. Isaac Stern came on board to play the violin. But there were very funny moments because Norman Jewison wanted it to look a certain way. And so he brought the director of photography on board and said, you know, you're famous for color and you're famous for texture, but can you give me the texture I'm looking for? And the cinematographer was out walking. He saw a woman wearing a particular shade of dark brown silk stockings, and he went over to her and bought them off her there and then. She took off her stockings and he paid her. And then he spent the whole film putting those stockings over the lens.
So the whole film was shot through tights?
Was shot through. And you can, in certain clips, in certain moments, like in the Matchmaker song, at about 23 minutes in, you will see the fabric of the silk stocking.
That has to make it unique. Bill, I'm conscious that a movie so linked to its audio, we probably should take another little sample. So let's take our second clip.
In a village called Rajenka, all the Jews were evicted, forced to leave their homes.
For what reason?
It doesn't say. Maybe the Tsar wanted their land, maybe a plague.
May the Tsar have his own personal plague.
Amen! What's the matter with you? Why don't you ever bring us some good news?
It's not my fault. I only read it. An edict from the authorities.
May the authorities grow like onions with their heads in the ground.
Amen.
What good will your cursing do? You stand around, you curse and you chatter, and you don't do anything. You'll all chatter your way into the grave.
Excuse me. You're not from this village.
No.
Where are you from?
Kiev. I was a student in the university there.
Tell me, is that a place where you learned how not to respect your elders?
That is where I learned there is more to life than talk.
And then, of course, Fiddler on the Roof. The final word then, Bill, it is 1971, so it's 50 years since this was originally released. Yeah. Does it stand up to modern eyes?
I watched it last week. And it captivated me again. And I just thought so many people are missing out on the pleasure of Fiddler on the Roof because they've seen little clips of it at Christmas when it's on the telly or whatever. And they go, that's not really for me. But they haven't given it a chance. And you need to give it a chance. You need to just say to yourself, I want to feel this film, and it's very rewarding. It will really take you away. And that last voice you heard, the young voice telling them, is Paul Michael Glaser, who within a couple of years of the film had become part of Starsky and Hutch. So you there are loads of wonderful cameos in the film.
Well, I was going to say, you had me at the knowledge that it was shot through tights, but now that Starsky and Hutch are involved, I think my Saturday evening is planned for me. Bill, thank you so much. That is Bill Hughes, television producer, with his analysis, of course, of Fiddler on the Roof.